I probably told you this story before. True story, in 1990, I was a senior at ILEF, and we had the opportunity to travel with a mission team. We traveled to Haiti. Most people call it Haiti. They pronounce it Haiti. Say that with me once. Haiti. Doesn't it just roll off your tongue? Mm. But in Haiti, it had been a brutal time. They were in the middle of an overflow. It was one of the revolutions that had occurred, and the country continues to struggle. But starting in about 1959, they had a dictator by the name of Papa Doc Duvalier. When he brought order to the nation through terror, he had what was called the Tonton Macoutes. Tonton Macoutes literally translates as Uncle Gunny Sack. If you had a little kid and they were misbehaving, you would tell him, "You better behave or Uncle Gunny Sack will come and throw you in his gunny sack and take you away in the night." Keep kids in line with this thoughts of this terrorist Uncle Gunny Sack. Unfortunately, the Tonton Macoutes were real. It was a private army that Duvalier had, and they would come. Anyone that spoke out, they would come at night, take people away, and you would never see them again. It was evil, it was awful, it was terrible, it was fearsome. It was brutal enforcement through a dictator. I bring this up because we're talking about Saul. You heard Tom read this morning, Saul, who will become renamed Paul. He was that boogeyman to the Christians. They knew of him. They knew of his reputation. He was breathing threats and murder against the people of the way. According to the book of Acts, that's what Christianity was called as it was still formulating and finding out what it was. It was the way. Let's all go to the group. Well, what is the name? Well, it's the way. The way of being Christians. I don't know. But Saul goes out of his way to get a special letter authorizing him to persecute Christians. And he admitted in the text that we heard, "I persecuted Christians up to the point of death by binding both men and women." So this is Saul. And boy, was he invested in what he did. He was good at it. But then we read the other scripture, the road to Damascus, Paul's encounter with a bright light. He tells there's two versions of this if you ever want to kind of play around, Acts 9 and Acts 22. Both have his versions of what occurred. But he says he saw a bright light and he heard a voice. And in one of the two versions, the men around him hear the voice, but they don't say anything. And the other version, they see the bright light, but they don't hear anything. It's hard to tell what's going on there. I might question whether they heard or saw anything except for Paul. But Paul experienced something there. And it took this determined, type A, super personality and turned him. He turned from a rabid anti-Christian to the Paul of the New Testament, the Paul the evangelist, the great Paul. A little bit of an aside there. We sometimes hear about criminals who have done atrocious things. Paul had done atrocious things. And if he were charged and persecuted, would not it be possible that we might seek the death penalty for some of his abuses? And yet Paul was transformed. And if God can transform Paul, God can transform anyone. Amen? You'll know this, that I am not in favor of the death penalty. So what is this thing, conversion, all about? We hear about it in this version from Paul, but it actually came out of this story in the New Testament of the gospel. The 10 lepers. Let's examine this a little bit, shall we, together? Jesus is traveling through a region. He didn't have to go through there, but he's traveling through this region, and he heals the 10 lepers. They seek him out. Was this one of those cases of, well, we've heard he's a healer. No harm in at least asking and pleading for it. Keep in mind, these are lepers. And if you had leprosy in that time and age, you were required to stay away from people. And if anyone started to come near, you would shout, unclean, unclean, so they would know to keep their distance. So not only was it kind of like avoiding each other in the COVID season, but you were removed from social interaction, from familial interaction, from worship, from all of the other things in life. You were a non-person. You were an outcast. And so some of them, at least one of them, was a Samaritan. And this is an interesting piece, is it not? Samaritans were those outcast people that good Jews do not associate with Samaritans. We know all about that. And some of them, at least one, is a Samaritan. And they come and they say, Lord, heal us. And he responds, interestingly, by saying, go and show yourself to the priests. Now, Samaritans would never go to priests, and priests would never have anything to do with Samaritans. So that in itself is just amazing and intriguing. Think about that. It would be like sending a Christian who is in needing of Christian learning and healing, sending them to an Arab imam, a Muslim imam. It's just a whole crossing of everything. It's just all confused. What do the priests do? We never hear that because it has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it because, you see, he says, as they went, they were clean. As they responded to Christ's directive, they were made clean. It is Christ who does the cleaning, cleansing, healing, restoring to right community. So a little time passes, and the one who we know to be a Samaritan returns, and Jesus says, where's the other nine? Weren't there nine of you a minute ago? I thought, and weren't nine of you healed? What? Just the one has returned. But he has changed. And he, a Samaritan, is healed of his disease. Did Jesus heal him? He makes a statement. He said to the Samaritan, your faith has made you well. Your faith has done this. Your believing has cleansed you. So all this comes out of Christ the King Sunday. This is the Sunday for today. Some call it Reign of Christ, but there's a little bit of warlike connotations to reign and all of that. I guess there is to king too, but Christ the King has a better feel for it, if you will. In my opinion, you can do with that as you like. And it's a day for us to think about our allegiance to Jesus and acknowledge him as the Christ. Don't you wish sometimes, especially today as we're watching everything happen in the world, don't you wish that you could take some of these non-believers and people doing atrocious things and blinding light and knock them to the ground and leave them blinded and converted? Why doesn't Christ just step in and just clean things up? That would be a conquest by force. And Christ is not about conquest by force. In fact, he says, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. It is in his account with the lepers, he says, your faith has made you well. Forcing it on someone isn't going to work, but how about this thing with Paul? You see, my thesis is that We can only be changed when we make that decision internally, not by force, not through coercion, but we give our allegiance to the Lord from our heart. And that is what Christ is about, not conquering the world. This world is not the Garden of Eden. This world is a tough world. There are awful things that happen here. And yet, turning to Christ through faith is our destination, our journey. But what about Paul? Didn't Jesus force him to change? I pondered that. I've been pondering that all week and going round and round in circles about it. But I think all Jesus did was get Paul's attention. If you read carefully, there's a blinding light. He's knocked to the ground. Some say pictures of the time, paintings, show him being knocked off of a horse, and he's laying on the ground blinded, and he hears a voice. It simply got his attention. It was not until later, when he's in the house of Ananias, and he's there, and he's blinded, and he's hearing the voice, "Why are you persecuting me, Paul? What's your deal against me?" "Well, who are you?" "I am Jesus of the Christian of the way." And it gets Paul's attention. And he changes. Christ doesn't change him. And Paul could have said, "Well, fooey on you. I'm a good Jew, a member of Jewish persecution, and I'm not going to listen." That's called free will. But Paul responds. Jesus just got his attention. So the question is, what will get our attention today? What drastic things need to happen to bear fruit?